Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, and the podcast about rugby that is here 52 weeks of the year throughout a British summer, a heatwave summer. We are subterranean in the rugby dungeon to give you your weekly fix of rugby. And I'm Tim. JB is over there.
Hello, Timothy.
And completing the trio, all in shorts today, here's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Nice old school Stade Francais jersey, that's nice.
Yeah, Stade Francais after the Paul O'Connell news this week.
Yes.
Oh, he's gone to coach them.
Yeah. In very poorly fashion, as it, I mean, poorly, as in Paul O'Connell the fella, not poorly fashion. He did that very low key, in a very low key fashion.
Very low key.
Yeah. Nothing low key about going to Stade Francais, though, is there?
Well, the announcement was low key.
How do they do it? Fireworks.
He just kind of mumbled it.
Yeah.
After start.
The red arrow is announced in pink smoke.
Tell you what, there's some impressive Irish ex-internationals that are already forging impressive paths in coaching, not least Ronan O'Gara.
Yeah. He's done really well, hasn't he? And I like the route that he's gone about doing it as well, because you can't deny. You don't go to New Zealand for a massive pay bump.
No, not at all. Yeah, he's not gone there for the money, or he's not gone there for the short-term money. He's gone there for the long-term money. If he becomes the best coach in the world, or one of the best coaches in the world, he can command his own salary.
Yeah, I wonder which of the regions, franchises. No, what's the other one? Provinces,
right? Ireland
are going to want him back, because it feels like Munster are very settled. They've got a long-term plan. He doesn't seem to fit into that. And I wonder if it'd be good for him to go back to Munster. At some point, a province is going to want him.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I think Munster would have taken him after Axel. There was talk of him going there, but he decided, or they decided, or a combination of the two, that the timing wasn't right.
Yeah.
So I would have thought there'll be multiple offers on the table at various different stages. What's really interesting, so every time that an Irish job comes up, his name will be in the frame. What will be interesting is when he feels he has got enough sufficient experience in all of the different roles that he's gaining to take what would be a province head coach or DOR type job.
Yeah.
Because my assumption is he would want that almost as a stepping stone to potentially the Irish job.
What is he, 38, 40 tops?
Something like that.
Yeah,
so
40.
So he's got a couple of decades of coaching, so there's no rush. I think he's being really, really smart.
Thing is, though, he's doing all the right things. He's going to visit all the right places. So, you know, obviously, Racing are a big club. He's gone down. Is he at Chiefs or Highlanders? Highlanders. Is that where he is now?
Is it the Crusaders?
No, Crusaders.
Yeah.
Crusaders. I was going to say, well, you've got to win something. But actually, I'm sure he's got a top 14 title somewhere. Well, I mean, he's not the head man. But
like, when he was at Racing, I went over to cover a Racing game. It was Racing, they hammered Leicester. I think it was a bit of a dead rubber game.
Yeah.
And he was more honest. He did not give a damn. I interviewed him before the game. And Racing were in a shambles. And he was so unbelievably, brutally honest. It was brilliant. He strikes me as a guy, he strikes me, from what you can tell, he knows exactly what he wants. He'll call it when it's not right. he'll front up and be honest when it's his own fault, and he'll happily throw shade in any direction that's necessary. A really honest man.
Hmm. And all of those things, so maybe not the experience side yet, but all of those characteristics you would say about Paul O'Connell as well.
So absolutely.
It will be very interesting to see what path he takes, because I would have thought a couple of years of coaching under his belt, there would be talk of stepping up because of his experience and his leadership credentials on the pitch. But it'll be interesting to see what route he takes off the pitch.
Mm. So here's a thought for you, right? This golden generation of Irish players, which, broadly speaking, so your Stringers, your Agaras, O'Connells, Callaghans.
Yeah.
I love that you're doing the football thing where you're talking in plurals.
Your O'Driscolls.
Your O'Driscolls.
Agaras. Yeah, that's the point. Right. All these lads. Now, O'Driscoll's gone to media. But the others seem to all be going into coaching. I mean,
O'Driscoll's also got a restaurant in New York.
Has he really?
Yeah.
Mm. Doing what? Serving what?
I don't know. He's got a couple. It might be Michelin starred, or it might be very, very well thought of restaurant. He's got a couple of very good chefs. This is the result of about a 5-minute conversation when I was just saying what you're doing this summer, and he's going over to New York to check on his restaurant. So.
Oh, well, nice. When you were chatting to Bod, yeah.
When me and Bod were hosting the stage,
colleagues.
When me and Bod were hosting the stage at the Premiership final, you know.
Oh, you didn't think to mention that on one of our other podcasts? Maybe you just after you've done it.
Well, okay. that would have been a bit. Anyway, that wasn't relevant then. That would have been, we were talking about Brian O'Driscoll and what else he's doing.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So you know, all these lads are now kind of, because they've been out of the game for a little bit, they're now finding their path doing other things. One of these paths is obviously coaching. Now, there's a lot of players looking for not very many coaching roles. And I was just thinking then, that's because, well, they're from that you know, those great teams or that great period of Irish rugby. Have many of the England World Cup winners gone into coaching?
Martin Johnson tried it.
Very briefly.
I think Martin Johnson might be the only one with any kind of coaching experience whatsoever.
Did Neil Back not do it for a bit at Rugby Lions?
Yes,
and at Leeds. Yeah.
Yes, and at Leeds, that's right.
Richard Hill, basically, they roll him out to do corporate stuff.
He's a team manager for England now, isn't he, Richard Hill?
Yeah, he is, actually.
But he's not coaching.
I wonder if Ben Kay ever goes out on the training paddock at Leicester. Just does the old line-out session.
Maybe.
He'd be damn good. But no, I can't think of any.
It was Vickery, it was Thompson.
Trevor Woodman's coaching.
Trevor Woodman, yep.
Where's he coaching?
He's probably the most low-key.
Gloucester. He's heading up the academy, or one of the academy forwards coach.
Right, okay.
But he's probably the most, low-key of the entire starting squad.
Then, yeah. So if you win a World Cup, I presume the after dinner speaking kind of demand for your time and pay will be probably better than, well, maybe not someone like Bod, because he's done so much and he's such a name, but it'd be better than almost anyone else.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, actually, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just more avenues open for you.
And you have to work less hard if you're doing a few.
It is a tough job.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
What's tougher, though, right? Is it coaching, when you go to work and you build your squad and you either live or die by that squad? Or is it reciting the same play over and over again to rooms full of middle management?
The same play? What do you mean?
So, like...
The same, like speech, right.
Jason Robinson, I am convinced, does not remember the World Cup. He remembers what he thinks was the World Cup. I'm sure he has no actual memory of... I mean, he must have watched on TV that many times.
And he's got memories of talking to a room full of middle managers about the World Cup.
Exactly. He will remember that World Cup as if he was watching it on TV. He'll have seen the pictures of himself so often. I think that's a sort of death sentence in itself right there, isn't it?
But if you were claiming, I don't know, £25,000 a time for an afternoon
for your
or
soul.
An evening...
£25,000 for your soul.
Per time for your
time.
Soul.
Just a little bit of it.
Just 25 grand for your soul? No. 25 grand
a time,
so two or three chunks per month.
Everyone's got a price.
Yeah.
It's chipping away at him.
He can't begrudge any of it. Speaking of which, that's one talking point. So on this podcast, we'll reflect on the Super Rugby final. We'll reflect on Eddie Jones's summer England training squad. Mm-hmm. And
oh, yeah, the training squad's out.
Yes, the training squad is out. So what I thought might segue nicely from that, everyone has a price. Michael Rhodes is a potential England international now.
He is.
South African-born Michael Rhodes. Yeah. He grew up dreaming of pulling on that white rose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he has gone... He's gone down the residency route. Unlike Brad Shields, for example.
He went down the English route.
He's got two English parents.
Yeah. And like Don Armand, who went down the residency route.
And like Nathan Hughes.
Nathan Hughes, another. But those three in particular. So Rhodes, Shields, Armand. So Armand was involved in the Six Nations, Shields in the Summer Tour, Rhodes now. The three of them have never been in the squad together. It almost feels like they're kind of on rotation because they're quite similar in the way they play. They're industrious number sixes, can cover second row, similar height, weight. All of they all feel like they're so. It's kind of like
is
you just picked one of those three
than the others.
Maybe
no,
an inch.
Rhodes is 6'5", so feels similar. Like, and the other two, Don Armand's around that 6'4", 6'5". So it's not a lot in it. Similar.
Yeah, they're very all similar. If you stood the three of them next to each other, put them on the scales and get your tape measure out, there's probably not a lot in between them.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Well, this the England number six jerseys, tiny microcosm of exactly why they're in such a mess. You know, how you can't decide on a six and why you need to just be messing around with it. You've seen enough Don Armand now to say he deserves a prolonged period in that shirt. And then they just drop other guys in, whether it be Brad Shields or... You know, now it's Rhodes who's, you know, the next guy. They seem to be persevering with Rob Shaw, who's had a terrible few months.
Oh, that is harsh. He had one bad game.
No, from November last year, I think he's been pretty poor in an England shirt.
I think looking at the players that are coming in, he's clearly very, very much under threat in a way he's never been before. I would go back and say that I think the reason why it feels like there's been this...
Ooh.
What the hell?
Ooh, what's this?
I don't know. Oh, it's me getting something ready for a little bit later. I accidentally pressed play. The reason it feels like it's been chop change, can't decide, is actually out of necessity. It's like, well, we need to cap Brad Shields, so we've got him. Yeah. And we need to cap Michael Rhodes, so we've got him.
Yeah,
and it's cynical, and I've said it before, so I'm not going to go into it again. I really, really dislike the fact that Michael Rhodes is in the England squad. It goes against what I think it should mean and be to play international rugby. I don't begrudge the guy trying to earn $25,000 a game for his family and for his own career, which could end tomorrow with one injury.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm glad the rules have changed, but we've got a South African who's going to be singing God Save the Queen, and fine, good luck to him.
But there are,
I do think he's an absolute baller of a player.
He's a very good player.
He'll be second choice, third choice, whatever he is, he will be a very big asset to that team.
Absolutely.
But he will probably be second or third choice in that position.
They're quite similar. I think they're all completely different. I look at Brad, I look at Rhodes as an extra lineout option.
He's in a line-out option.
A little
but
bit
so,
more,
so is Shields, so is Rob
little
Shaw.
Bit more athletic. I look at Shields a bit more of a ball player, a bit more, you know, maybe that's because because it's lazy analysis because he came from the Southern Hemisphere. And then you've got Armand, who's just an absolute battering ram. He's probably more physical than the other two.
But he needs to carry more in heavy traffic.
I think Rhodes and Shields are very, very similar. They're pretty robust, well, very robust defensively, but they are capable of amazing offloads and things.
I mean,
like
how
that.
Hard? Also, how hard is it to find a six? I mean, six should be like the easiest position to find. They just are.
You just need someone who is hard as nails, good engine on them,
hit rocks all day, smash tackles all day.
But then if you mentioned
Haskell, he's in the England squad again.
Yeah, of course he is, because he's the only one who's genuinely is untouchable. Like he will, if he gets in that seven shirt, it'll be very difficult to move him before the World Cup.
Will he get in that though?
Who knows?
I think the starting team right now would be Curry at seven, with probably Rob Shaw at six.
I'd like to see Curry play.
Rhodes as a bench option, much like Shields, in the fact that he can come on as a second row.
Yeah.
Or a back row.
Does a back row of Rob Shaw and Curry sound like something which could win a World Cup to you?
Well, what back row combination sounds like it could win a World Cup?
Of the England lot.
Of the England lot, yeah.
We're struggling.
It's really, I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think Haskell has to play. I mean, Haskell, Armand, some sort of combination like that would be more for me. But, you know, Curry is a brilliant player.
The back row that's going to win the World Cup is Kieran Reid, Sam Kane,
yeah,
and then Ardie Surveyor, yeah, or Liam Squires. Something like that. It's got a feel even, around...
Because
yes,
you even cast your eye in that Crusaders game and Todd looks absolutely, yeah, brilliant as well.
Todd's been amazing this season.
Yeah, he has. So, and Kieran Reid, oh, just in time for the Rugby Championship, what was it, 19 carries, 19 tackles, 17 carries, but every single one of them dominant defensively and getting over the gain line with the ball as well. He's just...
Yeah.
He's absolutely good. Class.
They are annoyingly good. I mean, I really wanted them to lose. No, I didn't want them to lose. I really wanted the Lions to win. Third heavy final in a row.
Yeah.
We'll get onto that, but on this England squad then, because Chris Ashton's back in.
Yep.
Okay.
Mini Will Spence.
A lot of the guys that are in, Haskell, I'm okay with. Fine. Ashton, cool, that, absolutely fine with that. Where do you stand on these sort of half a dozen players? There was a Kokonasinga, Ibitoye,
Oluwafela,
yeah, yep. Jordan Oluwafela, from Leicester Tigers,
who looked amazing in the under-20s World Cup.
Yes,
but I've not seen any.
No asterisks next to anyone's name on this.
Yeah, so there's no apprentice players, and on that basis, that Marcus Smith and Zach Mercer don't make the cut.
Yeah.
Who have been previous apprentice players,
yeah,
but other players have stepped up.
Yeah. And then in the forwards, there's the chap who's not even played a senior game for Saracens yet.
Kapoku,
who, look, as a physical specimen...
Big lad.
At 19, he's
quite a big lad.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, 126 kg, I saw him. 126 kg listed.
I hope he's... Jeez, the amount his local butcher. I hope his family got shares in it. Jeez. And then, is there any more youngsters like off the radar that are in the forwards, or is it mainly in the backs?
Well, Jack Singleton's in it again, so he, I feel like he's not off the radar if you know kind of a bit of England and obviously Worcester. He's a good player, but he's not a big name.
So let's go with those four youngsters that we just said, or might be five, when you have Ollie Woodburn sat at home.
Yeah.
When you have guys like Don Armand sat at home, when you have Dave Attwood, who's now
back at home. Finished the season very strongly.
Played very strongly for Toulon.
For Toulon.
And you've got someone who hasn't played a senior game for Saracens in his position stepping into the squad. And you're sat there, you're Ollie Woodburn, and you're seeing Oluwafela,
Ibitoye,
and Kokonasinga in the England squad.
I think it's bizarre. I mean, I don't know why they continue to mess around with these young players, getting them in, getting them experience to the environment. I mean, just go back to your club and work hard, and when you're good enough, you can step up to the England squad.
Yeah,
that's how it should be. And, you know, we'll do it once or twice, fine. But now it's four of them. It's four of them. And these lads might have been very, very good in the under-20s. But frankly, I've never seen them have a signature game for any of their clubs. So it's a complete and utter waste of time. England need... Right, Eddie Jones has got four games coming up. I think he can win one of them. And I think he gets absolutely pasted in the other three. And if that happens... He's pretty much on course to lose his job. So why is he messing around with kids?
If that were to happen, he would be on course to lose his job. I don't think it will. I've kind of got a bit more faith in that.
But, so first up is South Africa.
But he's not... He is... I agree with your sentiment around...
Yeah.
Kind of, why is he playing around with kids? Why is he not getting... As we've made this point over a number of years, get the very best men you can for that next game. It's not about 2023.
No.
It's not about...
But do you know what? If I was an England fan, God, I'd be worried about the noise for 2023. I'd be seriously worried, because as soon as camp start talking about the World Cup after the next one, they're already hedging their bets.
Resigned.
They've already lost it.
Well, we sort of got where his head was at when he actually put the asterisks next to people's player and going, these are young, promising players, and they're coming in for experience, and so we can have a look at them and help them and technically get them access to our coaches. We kind of knew where they stood. It's like he was saying Zach Mercer is not in line to play this autumn. But we think he's one definitely we want to keep tabs on and we want to work on and with. That makes absolute sense.
Yeah, happy with that.
I don't understand not... Jordan Oluwafella is not starting this autumn.
No.
And he's not even been a regular starter for Leicester Tigers.
No.
What's going on? What are you doing 15 months out from a World Cup?
I honestly think it's a sort of this excuse culture. I think they're making they're getting their excuses in early. Because if you listen to stuff Eddie Jones says, I mean, what do you say? He had 40 unavailable players during
Yeah, 25 during, or whatever it was.
He said 25, and we could add up to about 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. It's not a good look. They need to win these next four games. They need to win all four, in my opinion.
Three out of four would be okay. Less than that is not good news.
No.
At home. And then 12 months out from a World Cup.
Yeah, and they need a squad that reflects that.
Yeah.
There isn't time to waste a minute on a player that isn't going to be in the World Cup. So I assume Eddie Jones honestly believes these guys are potential World Cup squad members.
I wonder if there's some politics going on.
Yeah, that is what it signals.
The politics I'm referring to is I wonder if, like, because England are responsible for the Under-20s World Cup and there's a whole sort of pathway to bring these under-20s players to Eddie so they're ready. I wonder if one of the politics behind it is, hey, look, here's some successful under-20s lads. Let's get them in to demonstrate how good our under-20s programme is.
But,
Because they've got a guy in their corner. They've got people in the RFU who are sat in these kids' corners and they desperately want them to do well, for obvious reasons, because everyone wants them to do well anyway. But also, it justifies all the expenditure that they put into the under-20s programme. If they can say, hey, you've got four of our lads now.
But if
Look what a great job we've done.
That's the tail wagging the dog, if that's the case.
Yeah. Yes.
It's reverse engineering, isn't it?
It doesn't feel like, from everything that Eddie Jones says, it doesn't feel like that would be his reasoning.
Mm.
If someone was telling him, you need to get these under-20s in, he would say, get stuffed.
Yeah.
But so it doesn't feel like that. And also, throw in an inexperienced, someone who's not played first-team rugby, if they throw him into the lion's den of a professional international game against someone like South Africa, you're crushing that kid.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at the list.
Right.
There was a list of players given as unavailable for injury or something.
Yes, I've
slash other reasons. I don't know if guys like Ben Earl were on that, but let's remember Ben Earl travelled to South Africa. And he's now not in the squad.
Woodward.
Like, again, Jason Woodward.
Woodward.
Oh, my God. I knew there was someone else I was thinking of when I said Ollie Woodburn. Jason Woodward.
Yeah.
What's he thinking, seeing Jordan Oluwafella and
Ibatoye? And
Cockenessinger. What's he thinking?
Yeah, much better than these kids. That's what he's thinking.
Much better. So, much more experienced. Much more versatile. Played in a Super Rugby. Won Super Rugby.
I mean, at what point as well, this is the which really annoys me, at what point did club rugby become irrelevant to getting picked for your nation? Because it seems to be, it doesn't matter what you do in your club shirt or, you know, the cut and thrust of high-level Premiership games or high-level European games. It simply just does not matter. You'll be picked, and in some cases, you almost like just leapfrog the club game. Like, like Cockenessinger has done zero in the Premiership, which I think warrants going to England, and yet here he is.
I mean, an undoubted talent, and we'll see.
He's a big lad.
He's a big unit. He has had some incredible moments.
Yeah.
We'll touch on him a bit later when we preview Bath. But, yeah, I've not seen consistent, outstanding performances.
So this...
Go get me my whiteboard. All right. Here's how England's going to pan out up until the World Cup. They've got no money. Well, they've got some money, right?
They have got money.
They
want to spend less on a stand if they can do, but they've got money.
Yeah, 15 million over, apparently, Phil. So, they've got no money, so I don't think they can afford to sack Eddie, and I'm not sure they can afford to necessarily get in a replacement.
By the way, 135 quid for a ticket for the New Zealand game. Just seeing if the two tally up.
Yes, nice.
80,000 of them will do all right.
Yeah, that'd be fine. So let's... Right. So if Eddie has to go, England need a new coach. Well, thankfully for them, they've already got a coach on staff ready to drop in. It would not surprise me if this gets engineered to a point that the next England coach are either going to be someone like Jim Mallander or, what's his name? The guy who used to be
John Mitchell.
No, he used to be at Worcester.
Dean Ryan. No.
Okay. Call me mad.
Get your whiteboard out.
If Eddie goes, I think it's going to be one of those two, and he's going into one hell of a hard autumn task.
Well, this links in with who was the name? The chap at the RFU who came out and gave it effectively a confidence vote, but said we have faith in Eddie Jones.
Steve Brown.
Was it Steve Brown? It might have been Steve Brown. He said we have faith in Eddie Jones, but it is not unconditional. He said it is conditional, and we need results. So he made the point of saying it's not an ultimatum, but yeah, it had the feel of a kind of ultimatum. But no, because what he also said is it's not just about winning; it's about how we win as well. We've got to see.
I think they're jumping the gun there.
We've got to see.
Just get the win.
Yeah, oh, that's my thought. I don't care how they win; just 3-0 ugly.
By that logic, if it's how they're playing. If they could lose but play some brilliant or whatever he wants to see in them, and make an argument for them.
Well, he says it's about entertaining people. It's about entertaining the crowd. People are paying a lot of money to come to Twickenham. It's about making sure it's an entertaining spectacle.
So what he should have said is it's not about how we lose. No, it's not about losing. It's about how we lose. That's going to be the important part here.
Well, it was curious. It was curious. He made the point. He said this isn't an ultimatum. And maybe he's got a point. I mean, is his point valid that he says that, you know, we've got a duty to entertain? It's a product.
A duty? I mean, like, you know, there's a duty to do national service. I don't think you have a duty to entertain anyone.
Or a duty to pay my class 3 national insurance.
Yeah. It's not really a duty, is it? No, if you can entertain, great. But, you know, winning is entertaining. Just win.
Yeah. I mean, so they're playing South Africa, New Zealand, Japan, and Australia. If you win against the big three, the crowd will be delighted.
Yeah,
absolutely. No matter if you grind out a 6-3 victory against New Zealand, the crowd will love that.
They'll be on edge. If you get 6-3 against New Zealand, that will be amazing.
Yeah,
but you know, South Africa's going to be a loss. New Zealand's going to be a loss. I mean, Australia are building something again, I think. They're getting lots of lads.
It's quite New Zealand-esque what they're doing currently.
Who's the tier 2 team England will be playing?
Japan.
Yeah, you've got to win there.
And I mean, Eddie Jones has got inside information, so you'd probably back him to beat them.
Yeah, unless they put a weakened squad out and lose that as well.
Well, he's got a lot of kids in his squad. He's got to get them some game time.
Ibutoya needs game time.
Yeah. So there is rumours of the coaching change. You mentioned him before, Tim. John Mitchell to come from the BBC. Blue Bulls Company, not a British Broadcasting Corporation. And that could be one of those, you get in a former international head coach into a more junior role, and if things do go south, as JB suggested, if there's one win in 4 in November, you got someone on staff already in the system, another one on staff already in the system who has done it before.
I'm telling you, it's going to be Dean Ryan.
John Mitchell had an opportunity to take control at Sale Sharks and was here for about 2 weeks.
A ridiculous decision.
And then left.
Do you reckon he left
because it was the reason he didn't want to stay in England is because his relationship was in South Africa. But I assume an England role means he can go between the two places.
So when I was 21 or 22, I was offered a job in Richmond, right? And I took this job in Richmond.
You can go sit by the river.
I could go watch Harlequins play.
Go and feed the ducks.
Yeah, it was
some amazing pubs.
Yeah, it was going to be
the parks, mate. Just a little jog around the park. Beautiful.
Oh, basically, coffee with the boys every day.
Love it.
Sadly, it was Richmond, North Yorkshire, right? And I didn't realise this until I shook hands on it. And then on the way out of the room, the guy who offered me the job said, right, meet me tomorrow and we'll drive up to Yorkshire to see a new office. I can't help but think that John Mitchell, when he signed for Sharks, got the wrong Sharks. I'm pretty sure exactly the same process happened. Because he was here, wasn't he, for literally 2 weeks?
It was 2 weeks.
And, I mean...
This isn't Durban.
Yeah, yeah. This is cold. and also, he must have been baffled why they were even called the Sharks, but there we are.
It's a landlocked city next to a sewage works. What's going on here?
But, I mean... Those opportunities to coach clubs like Sale Sharks don't come round very often. I mean, he must be kicking himself now.
Well, he's in South Africa.
It's not Sale, though, is it?
It's not Sale, I'd agree. In Pretoria.
But potentially England's new defence coach.
Potentially.
Do you not think that he has... In the same way that the RFU seems to be collecting coaches which are last relevant 10 years ago to work in their in their pathways, that kind of John Mitchell was last relevant like 10 years ago.
So he's got an interesting...
Didn't he have a good stint with USA?
He had 1 year.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe two seasons.
From what I understand, he's a really volatile guy. I mean, so I don't know that for certain.
I'll read you his coaching CV. So, Fraser Tech, which... I assume is New Zealand, yes, because he played there. So Fraser Tech, whatever that is. Ireland as a forwards coach. Sale Sharks from 96 to 99.
Yep.
England as a forwards coach. London Wasps as an assistant coach for 1 year. Waikato B for 1 year. The Chiefs for 1 year. New Zealand head coach for 2 years. Back to Waikato. That's a step down, isn't it? A
little bit.
All Blacks to Waikato.
Oh, my God. He was New Zealand head coach.
2001
God, I've completely forgotten.
Then to Western Force for 4 years. Then to the Golden Lions and the Lions for 2 years. Sale Sharks for 2 weeks.
Yep.
UKZN. What on earth is that?
UK...
Oh, University of KwaZulu-Natal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought so.
Then from a university, so Sales Sharks director of rugby to a university to head coach for the United States, then to the Bulls and the Blue Bulls.
I mean, he's a very volatile man, from what I understand.
That is an interesting CV.
Can't imagine him working well with Eddie Jones.
Eddie Jones, whoo.
So only needs a year out of him. Just give us a good year.
Yeah. If he gets that same first year bump that Eddie had.
Mm-hmm. And that probably amounts to a few months' work over the course of a year.
Yeah.
Well, into physical work. Yeah. Interesting times at England. JB just needs to plug in his computer, so we'll give him that second. How was your day, Phil? Nice?
Very nice.
Just carry on talking about yourselves.
Oh, tell us about your night out in Lancaster.
Well, you were hosting an award ceremony, weren't you?
There we go.
Is this in your guise as JB celeb?
No.
We've invited him, but we've paid him to come and...
I did it in the guise of being Tim Cocker. the FIACA command was much, much greater.
Yeah, after dinner speaking / hosting. £25,000 a time.
I was hosting the award ceremony for my friend's fantasy football league. It was hardly a ceremony. It was very, very good fun and very, very drunken.
This is how, and let's talk about fantasy rugby draft at this point.
Yes,
this is what I want, and it isn't going to happen for our draft. It's a physical in person.
We're too spread
draft.
Out.
Yeah, geographic. So this was the fantasy football league, the draft fantasy football league that I play in. So between 2:30 or 2:45 and about 5 p.m. yesterday, there was a draft, which you were serving drinks during the draft.
Serving drinks, yep.
And then you put to good use during the whole time because you don't play in the fantasy league.
No, I'm not even in the league.
I see.
I was plugged in Shropshire on a 56K dial-up connection in a cottage in the middle of nowhere, the worst connection. So I liked, when I'm drafting, I like to have at least two laptops and at least three screens. And I had to like unplug everything bar the one laptop I was using. So it was a very frustrating draft for me.
But fantasy rugby draft is coming soon. And in fact, this coming week, depending on when you get this podcast, it may already be there. But the players for the Premiership and their positions and everything will be out this week.
Oh, wow.
And their ranking,
And the ranking of the players. So you need to get onto fantasyrugbydraft.co.uk or .com.
.com.
FantasyRugbyDraft.com and sign yourself up. And it's fantasy rugby the beauty of it is it's you versus nine friends or
ex-friends
or other rugby fans, and rather than every player being able to have every player in your league being able to pick the best player, let's say everyone could Danny Cipriani goes on a hot streak and everyone can pick Danny Cipriani up and all start him and make him captain. No, doesn't work like that. You can only every Premiership player can be owned by one side, which means there's trading, there's subterfuge if you're JB.
Yeah, there's a few nefarious deals.
Yeah,
no nefarious deals, only deals.
And what's more, it's not the case. You could have a terrible week, but still pick up a win because you get much like a Premiership league. It's head to head. You're not playing against everyone all the time. You're playing against one person for one game week, and you score wins or losses, and you try and progress to the playoffs. It's brilliant.
Is the Paul Manafort of fantasy rugby trades?
I've got no idea what that means.
Paul Manafort. The guy who is on trial now, the Trump aide, who was busted by the Russia inquiry. Dodgy connections. It's only going to get worse this year.
I don't really do many trades. I drafted incredibly well this year. Got to get to the playoffs.
Fake news, mate. Fake news. We'll be taking out a lot of Facebook ads over the next few weeks just to sow disinformation.
So we love it. Throughout this coming season, you're going to hear lots and lots about the rivalries. There's always an edge when one of us is playing someone else.
Yeah.
More important though, it massively increases your rugby knowledge.
Oh yeah.
When you know who the fifth choice winger is for Bristol.
Yeah, it's very good for that.
Yeah, when you start looking at A-League results to see what players coming back from injury.
When you go to watch the A-League at Haywood Road.
I remember watching...
I tell you what, A-League's quite good fun to watch. I'd recommend it.
On a Monday night?
Yeah, because hardly anyone's there, except for all the players who aren't playing. So that's pretty cool. And then you just get to watch.
The number of times as well that I've been accused of abusing my position as a reporter because a question I ask just happens to relate to a player that's in my team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So how's Jimmy Goffa's hamstring looking, Di? Back kicking yet?
How many more weeks? Will he be a goal kicker, do you think, or just starting at 12?
What is the substitution strategy for Joe Cockenessinger next week in 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
So I remember a couple of years ago, I was playing JB in the head-to-head, and we went into the final game of the week, which happened to be Sale versus Wasps, and I was something like 45 points up.
Yes, so I remember this game. What a game.
This is easy. I've got this in the bag. Cue Denny Solomona scoring a hat-trick.
In the first half. And one of only three, is it two or three first-half hat-tricks ever?
Maybe two of Denny Solomona's first-half hat-tricks. But just the frustration,
yeah.
And we were sat in the ground. JV, obviously being very magnanimous, as Denny was glided in for his hat trick.
Yes, what an afternoon that was!
I think I still won that game week by about 2 points, though.
I think I won it, but anyway,
I never get more angry about like refereeing penalties.
Oh,
when there's a legitimate turnover and a ref pings it. And it's your player.
Yeah.
That's gone from a plus two to a minus two or minus three. So it's a 5-point swing.
Let's talk about a reffing decision from this week then.
Oh, go on.
Did you see the Angus Gardner, Elton Yanchis touching the ball back?
The try, no try?
No. So the ball gets absolutely hoofed down the field by Crusaders. It rolls onto the try line. And then it tips back over the try line,
yeah,
back into
the field.
But it's still moving about, bobbling about. Yanchis picks it up, dots it down. Scrum 5 to Crusaders.
Did he have his foot in his try line when he picked it up?
Yes.
They've changed that law.
They have.
That it used to be the case that you could, as long as you were stood with one foot in the try area, between the try line and the dead ball line, you could pick the ball up from in the field of play, place it down in the try area, and it would be a dropout. As long as it was still moving.
Yes.
But they got rid of that, and now it's where the ball is when you pick it up.
Right.
Yeah, so the law says it has to cross the line. But that's completely different to every other area of rugby.
Where you just touch the line.
So if that is the correct law, and it is the correct law because it actually states that as the law, and also the ball is rocking back.
Rocking back into the field of play.
Yes. So it slowed right down, it kind of rocked onto the try line, and then it rocked back, and then Yanchi's picked it up. So, I mean, that it could be the right call for that anyway. But if the case is it has to cross the line rather than be on the line, that law's wrong.
Well, it's just inconsistent with the rest of the...
With the rest
of the laws surrounding the try line.
Or the try line, but any line.
Not just the try line.
Yeah, so that annoyed me quite a lot. But I think it actually was the right call. And if it was the right call, it's an astonishingly good call. Because he had to run... Angus Gordon had to run from... God knows where to catch up. And I tell you what, it's so Elton Yanchi's too. It's the most Elton Yanchi's thing you're ever likely to see.
Yeah, it wasn't his day, was it?
Again.
But Moanga, by the wow. He's a talent.
He can play a bit, can't he?
He's a serious talent.
Yeah.
Having basically an All Blacks pack, giving you, I wouldn't say an armchair's ride, because they didn't have it all their own way against the Lions. The Lions pack is very, very good. But it does help.
Crusaders just have an answer for everything. They have an answer for absolutely everything. Driving Maul got an answer for that. Big Pat got an answer for that. I mean, they really... You start to get concerned about... I'm not even sure they're beatable. I mean, what is the strategy that you've got to play to beat them?
They have... Yeah, you're absolutely right. They have plan A, plan B, plan C and plan D. They can mix it up loads. And in a way, the Hurricanes got totally exposed. They have one way of playing. And when you nullify that, it's done.
Yeah. Now, they play, so they're reminiscent of Leinster when they've been playing and Saracens when they've been playing. When those two teams have been at their best, you can throw everything in the kitchen sink at them and they soak it up and they absorb pressure. I mean, Lions had 2/3 of the territory and 12% more possession than Crusaders. But they just soak it all up. As soon as they get the opportunity, they either take points or they relieve massive pressure and gain serious territory. It's a very, very... It's a very clever way of playing.
Mm.
I don't know. I'd love to see Leinster last year. Leinster were far and away the best team in Europe last year. They were superb. And they could play exactly that same style
of
game.
I'd love to see... if you weren't so reckless with how many games we make players play...
Yeah,
there's every chance we could get a Crusaders like Leinster game.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah, a global calendar, that would be magnificent. And play it in, I think, where do you want to play it? Somewhere neutral in the middle.
Move it around. Tokyo one year and
Hong Kong.
Mind you, considering Super Rugby doesn't
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Chicago, Philadelphia, New York.
San Fran.
Just basically big US party towns.
Boston.
Vancouver maybe
deserve
it.
Oh, yeah, Vancouver or Toronto.
Well, I ain't going to Toronto, it's watching rugby league.
Anyway.
Yeah, but bearing in mind that Super Rugby can't fill out a semi-final, it's debatable how much attraction they could generate.
A big final in Hong Kong might get a bit more of the, HSBC type.
Hong Kong is a good shout. It seems like the perfect...
Yeah, they like their rugby parties, and there's a lot of... these sponsors would love it as well.
Rotating it around Tokyo, Hong Kong, Singapore, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I'm massively into that.
The Crusaders win. Come on.
Uh-oh.
Come on.
And it goes a little something like this.
We got Scotty Robinson.
No,
did you see his breakdancing?
He didn't seem to be moving as freely as he did last year.
No, I don't know if he's carrying a knock or age has just caught up with him a little bit, but he doesn't seem to have been practicing it very much.
Oh, he's practiced it plenty too.
It looked like someone at a wedding having a laugh.
Well, it looked like your dad trying to breakdance.
Yeah, it did. So I think out of a lot of politeness and loyalty, a lot of people went, oh, this is awesome, what a ledge. And I think most people, if they were being honest, sort of thought...
How sad.
How New Zealand.
It's fun, but...
He does it all the time now. He does it for semis, he does it for finals, he does it at weddings and funerals. Yeah,
when the Lions landed.
Yeah, yeah.
At the airport.
Oh, God, it's going to be the new
hacker.
He's got
to step it up and do the Digby Ioane... on the hand spinning round.
What was Digby Ioane up to nowadays? It wasn't he at the Crusaders?
He was at the Crusaders.
Posting Instagram pictures of
last year.
Topless.
Ooh.
Has he gone to France? Has he gone to Japan, actually?
He's got no idea.
By the way, on the wingers for Crusaders, Tamana Valu's turned his career around, hasn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's quite good. Quite powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping that could have been Digby Ioane. Digby Ioane, which is a real shame. Because remember when the Reds won it, exactly how good he was, and then he just disappeared.
So Digby is 33. Just turned 33, and he's at Panasonic Wild Knights in Japan. He did have a stint last season at Crusaders.
He's 33? I did 33. Not know that. That's over. Forget it. Move on.
The other winger, the other Crusaders winger, I really like. George
and
Bridges.
Apparently, what I heard happened is that Digby in training scored a try, did a breakdown in celebration, and Scott Robinson the next day had him shipped out to Japan.
Too good. Showing me up. Yeah, they got a couple of nice wingers there. George Bridges, kind of unassuming, doesn't look like he's going to be amazing, and then just glides through. Such a good player.
Goodhue's look great.
Yeah, same as Goodhue and Ryan Crotty.
Yeah.
I do like Crotty. I like him a lot. I can still to this day not work out why Leicester Tigers did not sign Ryan Crotty when the deal was there to be done.
If he was on the table, I wonder if it was the other way around. Ryan Crotty saying, nah, I've got another shot at a World Cup.
No, I've heard it from numerous sources.
Really?
Yeah, Aaron Major didn't fancy it.
Well, you got Manu. He's a banker.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, again, we'll get onto that when we preview Leicester Tigers, another one of the teams we're looking at this coming week. What else is on our agenda?
I think that's it, isn't it?
Have there been any other transfers? What did I send out before? The Vunipolas have re-signed, which is
good news. That hyphen is very, very important when you see these headlines. The number of fans when the hyphen isn't used that must have just a heart palpitation. The Vunipolas resign.
Yeah.
Re-sign. Oh, okay.
Felipe Contepomi to Leinster as a coach.
No idea if that's good or bad.
I don't know how much coaching he's actually done.
Yeah.
It can't be a bad thing, you would think.
All those years qualifying as a doctor and he's
What a
loss to the medical... No, he's a doctor.
Was the other Contepomi a lawyer?
I've got no idea.
That rings a bell. Can't remember what the other one's name was now.
I want to say...
Felipe.
I want to say Manuel.
Yeah, I think it might have been an M.
Let's have a look.
But yeah, I don't know how good that signing is. It could be amazing, it could be rubbish. I don't know.
Felipe Contepomi...
Have you mentioned the Scarlets kit, by the way?
There's loads of kits that have come out.
Yes.
We could just have a quick run around the kits. Mm. There's been loads.
Have Bath released theirs yet? That's the important one for me.
Manuel, his brother.
Yes, knew it.
Twin brother, Manuel Contepomi.
Twin brother?
Yeah, apparently.
What, like twins as in Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger were twins?
Something like that.
So let's have a look at the kits that have come out recently. There's tons of them, in fact.
So Saracens have got their new kit, the Nike kit, which is very nice, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is quite simple. I like it.
Yeah.
Munster have got a new kit, turquoise change kit.
No, thank you.
I think it might just be a European jersey, but it looks all right. Connacht look like they've taken a step forward, but that wasn't saying a lot. Their BLK kit is all right. It's a bit of a night. Rather than being four different shades of green, I think they're just three different shades of green on this kit.
The Munster kit, the home kit, the red, great. Have you seen the Adidas advert of Irish rugby players looking like perplexed?
Yeah.
At a pair of.
I meant to bring this up last week.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So there's all these Munster Ireland international rugby players who posted simultaneously within hours of each other, all wearing an Adidas jumper, all holding a shirt, looking at it with like a furrowed brow, looking confused, or like it was like that thinker statue, David the Thinker. You know that one where he's got his hand on his chin and he's deep in thought. It's like these Irish players deep in thought, all with and it was their boots, wasn't it? It wasn't
his boots.
Shirt, it's boots.
Yeah.
It was their new Adidas boots. So, thanks, Adidas. Looking forward to getting these on for the start of the season.
But there you go, Jake.
The faces they pull, I don't really understand.
It's like they've never seen a rugby boot before.
What is this?
It's very odd. So
the technology on those boots is so incredibly modern that
Ty Furlong, Sean O'Brien, and Conor Murray there. I think there's someone else. I think I've seen a fourth one.
Their Irish colleagues, Zeebo was one of them, which are ripping it out of them on social media.
Good. Good, good, good. They deserve it.
Yeah. But then who's laughing? Because they've probably got a whole chunk of change for that.
Well, Zeebo is probably not doing too bad.
No, quite.
Ratting.
Wasp has got a new kit. Can you see it there?
That's all right, I guess.
Is that
Under Armour?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Last year's Wasp kit was excellent, actually.
Wait, no. Yeah. Was last year's not the one with the bra?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
No.
That's 2 years ago.
Last year, it was the plain black with the white collar and the golden sign.
Oh, yes, it was.
Very nice.
That was all right, yeah.
Very nice.
It needed a bit more yellow on it, though, I think. It
needs to be a bit more waspy.
Yes, exactly.
Who else has got a new kit?
Leicester Tigers.
Newcastle Falcons home shirt. It's kind of grey and black hoops.
That's okay.
That's it. Yeah, that's fine.
Departing from the plain black. I do like that Saracens kit.
So
Ospreys.
Yeah, Saracens is really nice, actually.
Worcester. There.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah, fine.
Bristol as well. I've got theirs. Oh, who makes the Bristol kit?
No idea.
Northampton. This is an important one.
Yeah,
they've had some horrors. That Macron kit, I think, is all right.
Yeah, I quite like that. Is it tools? Yeah, is it Tool Station again?
Yeah.
They need, as we've said before, you need a sponsor with a sympathetic colour palette
to your
jersey.
Who is making Bristol's jersey? There it is. Looking at it there. Who's making that? Heat. No, is that another sponsor?
Sponsor.
I don't recognise that logo at all.
No, I don't. It's always a bad sign.
Yeah.
If you've got like Nike or Adidas or Canterbury, one of the big ones, even some of the Under Armour stuff, people buy it because of, like, you know it's going to be good quality, you know it's going to be a good fit. Whereas, it put people off.
Important thing about kits, Scarlets have got one. We've seen it with 19 sponsors on it.
Yes.
But actually, it works because they've got it's all the sponsors are in white. It looks fine.
Yeah.
So the important part about kit is not to make it too busy. You have 19 sponsors on, but if all the sponsors are in white fonts, it looks absolutely fine.
Sympathetic colour palette.
Yeah, exactly. That is the key to good kits.
Yeah.
It is massively. And Leicester Tigers have got a new kit as well, which might lead us into...
And the Leicester Tigers one's fine. You know, it's not as good as some of the classics, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I like it, yeah. They've had some shocking kits and some brilliant kits. They tend to be either great or awful.
Yeah, they really have had some awful ones.
I've never, ever, right, in my entire life seen a kit as bad as Leicester Tigers kit 2 years ago, which faded out into
faded
white.
At the sides.
Side fade. What were they thinking?
Some of the kits, you just look at them.
Yeah, like the kit designer should have lost their job. The salesman that put that in front of the Leicester Tigers board should have lost their job.
Yeah,
the Leicester Tigers board should have lost their job. I mean, like everybody involved in that kit, from the idea right when it's first even floated in the boardroom, that person should have lost their job. There should be like 60 unemployed people just for that kit alone.
Well, staying with Leicester Tigers then, we have been over the last few weeks and we will continue to the build-up to the new season to just put under the microscope a couple of teams every episode and moving from the bottom of the table to the top. We're at fifth and sixth position in the Avicii Premiership, the Gallagher Premiership.
Gallagher, yeah. Fifth and sixth from last year's Avicii.
Fifth and sixth. So we're looking at Leicester Tigers and we should say thank you at this point to JB.
Jonathan Pugh and James Hogarth, who have... very kindly written me a 4,000 word document, 11 pages on Leicester Tigers.
I just want to point this out. Bearing in mind, fantasy rugby draft is based on a bit of knowledge always helps. JB insisted this was only sent to him. I want to point out, Phil. So we'll be coming for it ourselves as well. But thank you very much for making the effort. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I've read every word of it, which is very unlike me. I never get through long documents, and it's absolutely bloody brilliant. So, yes, thank you, chaps. And if your team is up in the next few weeks, who are the guys
up? Top four.
Top
yeah,
four.
Yeah, Newcastle Wasps, Exeter Saracens are our next chunk.
Yeah, if you want to send us your reviews, well, send me your reviews, actually.
It doesn't have to be 4,000 words.
It doesn't, but...
A few hundred words of some key information.
Yeah, it could be 8,000 words.
Just your thoughts. Thoughts for the season ahead, how you think the recruitment has been done, how you think things are shaping up, what your expectations are. So let's throw Leicester under this microscope.
So JB.
Yes.
So having read this.
Yes.
And for someone who has been in the past a little bit negative towards Leicester.
Yes.
What is your overwhelming initial reaction to Leicester's position as we get into the new season?
People need to be fired and fired immediately. that is my overwhelming.
And is that the main thrust of the article? Is that or is that? Just there's nothing in there that changes your mind based on what you know.
Yes, basically. So there's a lot in it about how it's a bit more balanced, the article, than my opinions, and it's a bit more holistic, like talking about, you know, actually how good Leicester were at times last year, because people do forget that, you know, that
Bakewell bounce,
yeah,
worked quite well, didn't it?
Yeah.
So they started were okay up till about December, and then they started losing, and then Bakewell came in. And you know, when we saw them at the AJ Bell, that was a properly powerful team. There's no two ways about it. I mean, they weren't, you know, the rugby they were playing wasn't great, but they beat Sale up, and not many teams, you know, go up to the AJ Bell and are capable of doing that. So you know, they are a decent team, and they've got a really good good 15. The problems for me come with recruitment and management from the absolute top. So that is Cohen, that is Jed, whoever his name is, Jed Glynn, that's Matt O'Connor. Matt O'Connor is simply in a job because he's one of the few coaches that is happy not to do his own recruitment. And that's it. I don't think the structure's good enough. And at some point this year, there's going to be another sacking. It's just a case of how soon that sacking comes.
Well, on the recruitment, and thank you, Jonathan, and sorry, Dylan, was it?
No. Jonathan and I'll say Matthew.
Matthew.
John and James.
John and James, sorry, James.
I went to school with Matthew Hoggard. No, I didn't. That is a cricketer. no, I did go to school with a Matthew Hoggard.
With a Matthew Hoggard, not the
Matthew Hoggard. Oh,
right. Yeah.
So James and John sort of summarised a lot of the ins and outs. So, Phil, why don't you tell us what the recruitment was for Leicester Tigers?
So they've strengthened their back five of the pack quite considerably, actually. So they brought in Guy Thompson,
mm-hmm.
Dave Denton. They brought in Will Spencer,
yeah,
who is a handy signing. And then they've also brought a young Tuilagi, Fred Tuilagi. Who's a back row. So I think this is a son of... I want to say Freddie.
They brought him in. This isn't a promotion from the academy.
He is a promotion from the academy, but he's stepping up to that team. They've also brought in Gaston Cortez, Argentine prop, and Kyle Eastmond.
And then Dynamite.
So they have brought in a couple of hookers one's from Nottingham, definitely, as backup. So they've strengthened the pack, they've strengthened quite a lot, primarily around the back row and locks.
Talk about Jimmy Stevens.
Jimmy Stevens, yeah,
that's a hooker, I think.
And they brought in a chap called James Voss from Jersey,
who's on loan now at Coventry.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. So, going the other way, mm-hmm. So they have strengthened a little bit. They've not strengthened their backs very much. They've strengthened their pack, and certainly the back side of their pack.
Yeah.
So going the other way, they have lost a few reasonable name players. So Mullipola's obviously gone.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Sillier's gone to London Irish. Harry Thacker's gone. And George McGuigan, the talented young English hooker who came from Newcastle, has gone back to Newcastle. And Don Barrow left halfway through last season to go to La Rochelle, has now joined Northampton. So that's the kind of sum total, that's the main ins and outs of their squad.
Without anything spectacular, I actually think that's a good summer's business for Leicester.
I actually think Skinner is a cracking bit of work.
Will Spencer. Yeah, outstanding.
That's by far the best bit of business.
Well, Guy Thompson and Dave Denton just give him it's options for carrying in that back row.
Mm.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Callum Afoni, he was industrious. He worked very hard last year, but I had him in my fantasy rugby draft team for probably the first half of the season.
He just doesn't have the quality needed, does he? Brutal about it.
It's the explosiveness.
Yeah.
He was carrying so much. He's one of the top carriers in terms of number of carries in the league. In terms of metres made and tackle bursts, he was very, very poor. And the ratio of metres made per carry was very, very poor.
I don't think... absolutely. But there wasn't really anyone else, so he was having to...
Yeah,
he was being put out there every single week.
Yeah,
and it will improve him being able to be rested, used for 20 minutes, or given a week off and patched up.
Because the other one you had was Luke Hamilton, who's now gone to Edinburgh, but he's not. No. So I'd say neither of those two have the explosive carrying ability of Guy Thompson or Dave Denton.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Those three in particular, they're the ones that stand out to me: Spencer, Thompson, Denton, as three. Because Spencer can carry.
With Brendan O'Connor being fit again, because he missed a lot of last season, and you talk about guys that could have been on the England radar, again, he's not even had a sniff.
I mean, actually, he could be the best of the lot of them, actually, at seven.
Yeah, because of his link play,
and
his broken field running, and the work he does over the ball. So their pack, actually, is looking all right. Now, Genge is out for a while.
What's wrong with Genge?
He's had knee surgery.
Oh, rubbish.
I think it's out till the new year.
Hence the mobility scooter. Wheelies on a mobility scooter.
So the pack will do what most Leicester packs have historically done, which is win good, solid ball. Mm. It is their backs that I'm a little bit concerned around. And so last season, one of their main problems was you've got two of the best centres in the league.
Yep.
Who were unavailable most of the time, so you ended up with Matt Smith and Matt Tate doing a lot of the work. Now this season, you've got three of the potential best centres in the league, because Eastmond comes in.
Here we go.
Potentially one of the best centres in the league. Tamu is still there, albeit...
Kinda.
He's not going to be there all the time because he's going to be available to Australia.
Yep, but you know what? They're making him come back for rest weeks. Which is ludicrous.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. It was brought up on local radio. Okay, point raised by Matt O'Connor on local radio that they're going to make Plotter now and Tamua.
Is this Jonathan and James?
Huh?
Is this Jonathan and James?
No, this is separate.
Yeah.
A point raised publicly by Matt O'Connor that those two guys are going to have to come back on the rest weeks.
So for rest, when you're supposed to be resting, you're going to fly 20,000 miles.
Yeah. No, that's not happening.
Well, I hope not.
Won't happen.
But yeah, it seems crazy. That's the stress and strains that long distance air travel puts on your body. It does not correlate with rest.
Yeah.
So anyway,
the other thing just on that as well is Palotta now is very important. They've got rid of Thacker. They've got rid of McGuigan. They brought in two young guys.
Two less experienced guys.
But basically, it's Plotter now, wasn't it, and Youngs. Now, you take Plotter now out of that, it's just Youngs. Youngs gets injured. They're really screwed.
They have got four options at hooker. We'll see. So, two guys who have got experience in the championship, we'll see how they fit in. It is more the backs. So,
I would say as well, Tom Cruise at Wasps, you would have said the same.
That's absolutely right.
Great point. It's their centres. So they've got one fly half because they've got George Ford.
Okay.
Now, George Ford, he will play every game he's available, which he did last year.
Yep.
And he's very, very good. But he's not available for every game. And if he gets injured, you're down to Matt Tamu, who's also your first choice centre.
And Joey Ford.
Or not available. Or Joe Ford, who is certainly not George Ford.
There is an argument to say that he's not George Ford. But do you know, I actually think I know bang on about Eastmond every week now, right? They get him fit and operating well at the 12 channel. That takes a lot of pressure off Joe Ford if
True.
If he needs to be that guy.
Although Eastman's not a kicker, really.
Oh, yeah. Is he not?
I've never really seen him.
I mean, like,
kicking
for sticks?
No. I mean, so I've seen him kick sticks for St. Helens.
Yeah, he's very good.
Tactical kicking.
I wonder if he's not that much of a tactical kicker because he's just so amazing on his feet.
Maybe. And then, obviously, you've got Manu.
Who is apparently fit for the start of the season.
That's good.
But was having some kind of minor surgery, I read. The last thing I read about him was he was having just a very minor bit of surgery, just to clear up a knee or a bit of cartilage or something like that. But he'll definitely be fit for the start of the season.
That's the latest that's being said on the matter, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of the Leicester recruitment in the backs is maybe we get to watch, best part of, what, Manu's 400k and Eastman's presumably 200k.
Between 200 and 300.
Just sat watching games.
Okay, so England and Leicester centre Manu Tuilagi says he should be fit for the start of the season.
Should
having
be
had
fit.
A minor knee operation.
There you go. It's a softening on the language.
It was a really minor procedure and I am back in training. I'm really excited for the new season.
Wow.
Did he say that as excitedly as he said about playing for the badge?
Matt O'Connor said that the club were trying to make him a little bit more resilient. He carries a lot for us. He's a huge focus for the opposition. We have to try and make sure he's that little bit more resilient around playing as many games.
What does that mean?
For us.
What does that mean? Resilient, he doesn't play any games.
Don't know.
more resilient.
More, yeah.
He's got me more resilient. He can't be less resilient than he currently is.
Well, that's what they've been doing wrong all these years. Just if only they'd thought to get him a bit more resilient.
Yeah, a bit more what? Like mentally resilient? God, they talk nonsense, don't they, coaches? Utter nonsense.
Then, so Leicester also.
I really like Matt O'Connor.
I'm sure he's a nice bloke.
Despite the fact he called, I can say this now, and he does it now as a joke. I met him once. And then the next time I saw him, he called me James.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't have time to correct him. So then because it was like, right, Matt's here, right, record, go. He went, how are you doing, James? Nice to see you. And I was like, did he say James? Anyway, the next time he said James and I corrected him and he was really embarrassed. But now he just calls me James.
Oh, really?
just good luck. But no, I've got a lot of time. I like him.
Look, I'm sure he's a good bloke. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's the right guy. And I don't actually blame him for this either. I blame the people that put him in this situation. And frankly, if they were less concerned about their own images and they're less concerned about wanting to be the guy that signs the players and identifies the talent, they wouldn't be in this situation, but they are.
Now, one final point for Leicester Tigers. Fantasy rugby draft. Perspective, the star man and the bolter.
Oh.
Now it's very handy that we've left the back three.
Yes.
Because
absolutely. The star man, there's no question.
Well, it could be one or two.
He'll be a top. Well, I think the top three, I think they'll both be top five picks, but the top three pick in most fantasy rugby draft leagues will be Tolusa Vianu.
Yes. And probably not far behind him will be Johnny May.
Yeah.
And Johnny May has the disadvantage of playing for England. Tolusa Vianu should be available pretty much every week. Plays 15, runs from everywhere.
Beats men for fun.
For fun.
Yeah, the last couple of years he's not quite as resilient as some players.
Uh-huh.
Someone like, say, Ollie Woodburn. But when he's on the pitch...
Yeah, a terrible concussion because of lack of resilience. I remember that. More resilient.
So there's those two.
And by the way, that could go on JB's list of things. Like if you're a defensive coach, just say line speed.
Yeah. If teach resilience.
Resilience. Anyway, yeah.
And the bolter, who's just been called up to the England squad, outstanding for England under-20s. I mean, his highlight reel for England under-20s is unbelievable. Is Jordan Olofoela.
Olofoela. He's got a brother in the seven squad, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Now.
Twin, I think it is.
Now it's not about me thinking. There is a wing spot is available for Leicester Tigers. There is no, you will go, everyone being fit, Vianu and May are your 15 and your 11. That 14 jersey is wide open.
Thompson seems like the guy to fill it.
He does. However, he's a very robust, solid kind of guy, but he doesn't, and he'll do a job, and a really professional job, but he's not got that sort of stardust.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a shame because there's a huge Brady-shaped hole on the Leicester wings.
Obviously.
And that would have been his shirt.
But you've got Sam Aspland-Robinson has been signed as well.
Yep. Yep. And you've got Jonah Holmes, who played a few games last year.
And did very well.
Yeah.
He did do well.
He didn't do too badly. He was quite a big, strong boy as well.
Hmm. All in the absence of Tom Brady, obviously.
Exactly.
Of course.
Our mate Tom. But who would you, if you had to sort of go now, who's going to make that 14 jersey their own? Who's going to have the most appearances for Leicester Tigers starting at 14?
I think Holmes
will probably start. I'd like to see Oliver Fella given a good run. Like, start him off, give him kind of 60 minutes for the first few games. Get him some opportunity, especially early on in the season. So Jonah Holmes and Adam Thompson, both quite big, strong, robust, experienced enough guys. They'll be, when it gets a bit kind of colder and wetter and darker, you know what you're going to get from them. When you've got the nice, firm, dry pitches, just let Oluwafella have a go.
Yeah, I think so.
And if he does well enough, he can secure that jersey.
Mm. Interesting.
So
very interesting.
Last season they finished fifth.
Yeah.
Level on points with Newcastle, but because of was it wins in the end? Yeah, wins, I think it was. Newcastle secured fourth position. Where do you see them this year? Better or worse than fifth?
Do you know, I've just got a feeling that the squad is all right. The coaching actually might be more robust than you think. Because you always think of Matt O'Connor, but actually you only need to be thinking like Bakewell and Jordan Murphy and, you know, guys that are real good, you know, actual very good coaches. But I just think there's going to be too much trauma at the top, too much trauma with salary caps, and I think there's a lot of trust in that club, which has been hugely eroded by some of the behaviours. So I think there's going to be more dramas there's going to be more drama around the corner. I would suggest they're going to finish top six. Fifth sounds about right to me.
Same again. I think they're in a better position than they were this time last year in terms of the squad. Will Spencer will be a real tough nugget of a lock that they've been missing. Back row's definitely strengthened. I also think they're going to be fourth, potentially squeezing in at fourth place, probably fifth.
I think they'll go back to what they'd done for something like 12 or
13 years
consecutive.
In a row. Well, 12 years in a row, definitely.
Yeah. I think they will get into top four.
Yeah.
I think they will.
I think they'll improve. But
I will say that their backs in places is thin on the ground. You get their best team out, their box office, a couple of guys away for internationals.
Well, they're starting the season without Tamua.
They might be starting the season without Tuilagi.
They've got Eastmond
alongside
right, Gareth here you
Owen.
Go. Here you go. Right,
Matt Smith.
So they've got Ford, and Eastmond. Three lads, all from Oldham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now Matt O'Connor gets fired, you know where this is going, don't you?
Yeah.
And out the door probably goes Jed, and probably goes Simon Cohen. In my opinion, who knows these players well enough to come into a top job immediately, right? With top job experience.
So what you're saying is, you work in Oldham, you should be Leicester Tigers' new head coach.
To be fair, you know, as jobs go, it's one of the easier ones. You've got to work bloody hard to mess up Leicester Tigers. But no, who? It is an Oldham-based individual. Who would it be?
Mike Ford.
Of course. Bringing with him?
Gary Gould.
Sam Burgess.
For another World Cup.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, another crack at the World Cup.
Ironically,
he could just change the badge on the PowerPoint.
Exactly. So, ironically, I think Bath might have had it right 4 years. Isn't it amazing? 4 years ago, these kids, and they were kids, they looked like they were about to take over the world. 4 years later, pretty much, and we're still waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
And this time at Leicester.
Right, so we'll move over to Bath now, since you mentioned it. Actually, before we do, there's one other. Are you at liberty to say the player that's probably going to be coming to England?
Coming to where? What?
Are you allowed to say
Sale.
Yeah.
Just put it this way. Go back and listen to one of our... Go back and listen to last week's podcast. We might mention the individual involved. I reckon there'll be an announcement on Tuesday that Sale have a... Sale have a new player.
And you're not going to say any more than
totally
that?
Totally unrelated, actually. I learned something about a South African player that I thought I'd share. Just, I know it seems a bit out of the blue, this, but...
Go on.
There we go. So he's a scrum half, plays for the Lions, Ross Cronje. And
good player. Handy player.
That's it. I tell you what, he'd be a good backup for someone. A good backup for Will Cliff.
But I didn't know, I didn't know this about
him. So you left out a key one there, which I believe is one of your favourite things to do when you've got a bit of time off. And it's not something I've done a great deal of.
Right, so Ross Cronje, this out of the Lions scrum half. He was backup for Faf de Klerk at Lions, wasn't he?
That's correct.
Until
he
usurped him at both Lions and South Africa.
Yeah, apparently they're very good friends.
And what's Sale going to do when Faf's back at South Africa?
I don't know. It's tricky.
They're
going to need backup for Matt Sturgis and Will Clay.
Anyway, back to this South African scrum half, Ross Cronje. What do you think one of his favourite pastimes might be?
Ooh.
He does something topless.
Ooh.
Spear fishing. Spear hunting.
Brying.
Barbecuing, that is.
I'm not sure if Emmanuel and Morgan have a topless tractor driving. I believe that's quite a popular one for Ross Cronje.
There you go.
That's
one of his favourite pastimes. He's got his own little tractor.
Is that genuine?
Yeah, 100%.
That's genuine.
He's appearing on a TV show in South Africa, and let me get to show you a picture of him. He doesn't deny it.
That was actually getting our wedding venue ready.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
So he,
is there a picture of him?
Yes, I was trying to
find
a picture.
Is he a Massey Ferguson or a John Deere?
Good question. Let's get the picture.
A Ford County?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our wedding venue.
Oh, come on.
that was actually getting our venue.
How did you find this?
Oh, for goodness sake, I want to show you the picture. Dear. There you go.
See? Nice.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's enough about Ross Cronje, the Lions scrum half.
Completely unrelated.
Completely unrelated. And so I'll keep an eye out for the news wires on
there will be some Sale Sharks. Exciting in the AJ Bell sooner rather than later.
Go to the wreck then.
Yes. Oh, right, yeah, talking about.
And plans have been submitted for the redevelopment of the wreck. Have you seen the pictures of that?
No. Yes. What do they look like?
Yeah.
It looks good. Well, they're trying to offset the concerns of some of the locals. Remember, this is public land, hence the recreation ground, the name. And the stand comes down in the summer and people play lacrosse on it and there's all sorts of other things that go on. And this new stadium will take up a lot of that land. One of the ways they're trying to sort of appease that is by turning that whole bit by the river into redevelop that
whole bit by the river, which is
the behind the stand near the river.
Yeah, the stand that's closest
so
to town.
To make the, because that will become what is now the length of the ground facing the town hall in Bath across, and the weir will now be one end.
Yeah,
and at the end there will be a whole complex. There'll be cafes and things like that, and they'll redo the whole area
Conference
around
the facilities weir. For the regeneration community.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. Right. Okay. So
there'll also be a new bridge across the river on the plans that I saw.
A glass atrium.
maybe.
All sorts of fun stuff. So, I will never understand this, right? Why do rugby clubs and sports clubs continually chase bigger crowds? Smaller, wealthier crowds paying more per ticket is the way forward. No extra security.
Supply and demand. You get to keep the riff-raff out, don't you, Jay?
Exactly right. I mean, they're such a well-heeled... they're such a well-heeled...
They'll pay double.
Yeah, exactly. If you put up the prices by double, right, you can still get in. In fact, if anything, it becomes more exclusive, so demand goes up. You probably put it up by triple. Right, number two.
It's like art. If you put up a bit of art as £100, no one will look at it. If you put it up as £5,000, someone will buy it because they'll assume it's of significant value.
And then you've got to build this thing, and modern stadiums are dreadful. And also, do Bath fans need cover? I mean, do they really need a roof? They all wear wax jackets. They like wearing wax jackets. That's what they do. Right, they can wear their wellies. How many of them wear hats? They love those big rimmed hats. I just can't understand why they need to go through this whole rigmarole. And they can still play in the summer. They can still take down the stand and play cricket during the summer. That's all it is.
So the bit I will say, I don't actually know, I can't remember what it was going up to. I think it might have been 16,000. So it's not an enormous jump.
Yeah.
But the facilities from where I've been in the rec, I've been a few times, they're not actually great. If you can just get the same number of people or slightly more people, but offer a much better dining match day facility, much better bar, people are going to want to pay more. So people will be delighted to pay the £120 ticket or whatever.
I don't think there's any boxes at Bath, is there? I can't see.
Minimal number. There's the ones at the end. Where
behind the sticks.
So, yeah, there's that. But again, I mean, why even offer it? Just charge them more. And actually, like the ground itself, I mean, think of it this way. How expensive is it to get the car parking space in Twickenham or the car parking space in Cheltenham? Like, it's just literally a car parking space. Yep. And the more they charge for it, the more people want to go. That's the way forward.
And so exploit their fans, that's what you're saying.
Well, the fans exploit themselves, it's fine. And also, there's little things, isn't it? Like they bring the barrier down so the players can get on. I mean, it can get on to the field from the change rooms. That's an amazing thing. You know, that stadium is amazing. And what it lacks in, corporate hospitality boxes, which are a bit overrated, to be fair, it makes up for the fact that it's in a World Heritage site. It looks incredible. Mm. Like, if they start building, things onto it, make it bigger, and I don't like it.
So I've just opened up the PDF of the development plan for the Stadium of Bath. Stadium for Bath draft development plan. There's a timeline in it, which I assumed was the programme of works for the project. So when do you start, when do you complete, and everything else in between. Mm-hmm. And then so I went to the start to see, when is this work going to start? It starts 1860 BC. this is the history of the city of Bath.
Nice.
There you go.
On to the on-field matters. What must Todd Blackadder be thinking, looking back at Crusaders? Did he oversee the only period where Crusaders didn't win Super Rugby?
Yeah. 9 unsuccessful years. So Super Rugby has been going... These stats are wrong.
1996 or 97?
They've been something like 22 years, of which Crusaders have won like 12 titles during that period. And there's a 9-year period... It's not quite that much, but there's a 9-year period where Blackadder won nothing.
Amazing. Staggering.
It is. During that period, he had the best players in the world.
But he's a nice guy.
Great guy.
He is a great guy.
He's a nice guy.
He is. And he is a guy that players want to play for.
Well, you say that. If they really wanted to play for him, surely they'd be more resilient and they wouldn't be injured all the time. I mean, I do think there is a problem at Bath that everyone is always injured.
Yeah,
always.
There is... I mean, you can call it luck. Wasps had these issues in previous seasons. Bath, the last year or so, have had awful injury issues.
Yeah, but injuries, it does flag lack of depth in positions as well. Mm. So if you've got if you've got depth and versatility in your squad, you can manage injuries. If you don't, you get found out.
Yeah,
everyone fit and firing, they have got an exceptional squad.
Yeah, and looking at the squad, I mean, on paper it looks like most positions you've got depth. You got a lot of depth in most positions if you can get people out.
Yeah,
their back row is phenomenal. The second row.
Yeah, Francois Lowe, Faletau, and then
anyone
Garvey,
else? Me.
Take
Francois
your pick.
Faletau and me would probably make it into the top three Premiership back rows.
Behind, and that's behind Dave Attwood, Luke Charles. Well, no, Luke Charles just moved on now, hasn't he?
He's still there.
He's there. And Charlie Yules.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Elliot Stook as well.
Yeah.
Yep. They've got options.
In the England squad.
Who got called up to the England squad. Yeah, I was just checking that.
Yeah, I mean, the quality in the team is undeniable, but it's that depth, and they don't seem to get everyone fit and firing. They also seem to have become a bit of a retirement home for Welsh players who are starting to lose it a bit. So
yeah, run us through the ins and outs of Bath.
Okay, so they've brought in Jackson Wilson from Worcester Warriors.
I like that
centre. Yeah, he's a good player. They've brought in Lucas Noguera Paz from Jaguares, so a prop. Another prop, Victor Delmas from Colomiers, who actually, I think he joined them in March last year.
Yeah, that's right.
They've brought in Rory McConaughey from England Sevens, who's going to be a utility back three player.
Yep.
Who's big, strong boy, big, rangy runner. Jamie Roberts is an interesting signing.
Yep.
They brought in Chudders from Exeter. He's a very good.
That's a good signing. That's a really good signing.
He's unlucky that 2 years ago he was quite. He had a couple of injuries.
Mm.
And last year, obviously, they brought in Nick White. They've also brought in Joe Coconasiga from London Irish.
Allegedly on 230k.
Feels about. Well, yeah. Based on his potential.
That's only just above the average Premiership wage now.
Average is about 140.
170, I think.
I think it's 140. Oh, is it? Dimes.
Yeah. Oh, well, average, all you need to do is divide the salary cap by the squad average squad size.
Yes.
But then you need to add in the marquee players because that will significantly bump it up. So I'd be surprised if it was that low, 140.
Well, I can tell you this. Bath players are not particularly happy with the arrival of Joe Coconasiga on the salary that he's on. So that has caused some issues, should we say.
Mm.
And the other signing is Alex Davis, who's a fly half scrum half from Carnegie.
Oh, right.
He's a Lancashire lad.
Good. Good, good. They'll be, you know, if they get over, I mean, they should be, by all rights, semi-finalists in Europe, certainly making the Gallagher playoffs. And this should be if Leicester Tigers is an easy job, this should be even easier, right? You basically, you know, your place of work is it's not dissimilar to the school which the X-Men use. you know, you've got a wonderful stadium. You should be able to attract every player that you want because it's such a great club with such an amazing surroundings. But somehow they get it wrong time and time again. And they get their squad construction wrong time and time again. It's my understanding that they're letting. Well, I think this week they've basically fired a guy who used to be their club captain, who was Mercer.
Guy Mercer.
They've paid him off to go because they've got salary cap issues. But you know they've also got a load of guys which they bought in last year, just you know, literally off the street, like Cooper Vuna,
Alad Brew.
Alan Brew, James Wilson.
Wilson's gone.
Wilson has gone, you're right.
Yeah.
Who was the other guy? Oh, there's another fellow as well.
Well, Benny Tapps they brought in mid-season, but he's now gone.
Hurrell's gone back to Bristol.
Yeah.
He's been a swap. Yeah, Hurrell.
I tell you what, they have got they've not done well. If that was a sort of trade, Benny Tapps for Jamie Roberts, I think I'd have kept Benny Tapps every day of the week.
I probably would have well.
I don't disagree with their recruitment. It looks haphazard.
Mm.
And they seem to have. You talk about the depth. My concern with Bath is they have unbelievable depth, too much
in certain
areas.
Yeah,
like
their
six jersey, for example, they've got that really. They've got a really young, promising player who came back fit this year. Who was out for a while. I can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, him, Garvey, so, and then you've got
Tom Ellis.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And then you've got Zach Mercer, and you've got Faletau. And you've got Francois Lowe.
And Paul Grant is a handy...
Paul Grant is a is a quality player as well. No, a good squad player.
Mid-season pickup. Big bloke as well.
Yeah.
When I saw him playing against Sale. Huge.
So it almost seems like they've got too much money invested in those areas, and then they've got lots of money invested at fly half, but you still don't know who's number one, who's number two.
No. Yeah.
Which could be an advantage, but I actually think not.
I mean, maybe I've been harsh on the Jamie Roberts signing. It's going to be expensive. The doctor isn't cheap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He will not be cheap. I actually think last season he had a really good season. Mm. All in, and he was one of the leading lights for Quinns in terms of both leadership and his on-field presence.
Yeah.
But something you don't get from Jamie Roberts is the distribution.
No.
You don't. He will carry very hard. He'll put big hits in all day, and he is. He's certainly athletic enough to do what he needs to do, but you're never going to get a nice tactical kicking game or double miss pass to Anthony Watson.
Does Jamie Roberts being there make it more of a Billy Burns team, possibly, because he's got that option?
Maybe, although he's got a lot of game time with Priestland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, is it just settling down a bit, get him over the gain line? You know, it might turn out to be a stroke of genius. The more I think about it.
Well, then with Jonathan Joseph, Anthony Watson, when he finally gets fit, Rocco, is he fit?
I think so.
Because we talk about fantasy rugby draft star man.
Two seasons ago,
look no further than Rocco.
Two seasons ago, he was unbelievable.
Isn't the story of Bath like the story of what could have been from 4 years ago? I mean, that really is the story.
The 2015.
With the Fords and the Eastmans and Joseph. I mean, that team, Joseph and Watson and Rocco and, you know...
Carl Ferns. On the bench for the final because Sam Burgess was playing six.
You look at all these... DeVoto. Look what happened to DeVoto after he left.
Yeah.
You know, these lads.
Woodburn was in the squad then, but not playing.
Say again?
Woodburn was in the squad.
Yeah, they have Woodburn. The bloody Woodburn, right?
They've got all the talent in that team.
And what do? They absolutely screwed it up. They absolutely screwed it up. It's beyond the joke.
You could make an amazing team of players that left London Irish to go to Bath, and you could make an amazing team of players that Bath let go.
Yeah, completely right. So the story of Bath is the team that could have been. So actually, the story of Bath is actually the story of London Irish, the team that could have been.
For me, it all hinges with Bath on front row and centres.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting. Will they get Henry? Will Henry Thomas finally become an absolute force, like we all expect them to be?
I'm not sure. Since he's had a couple of bad knee injuries, hasn't he?
Then you're going to need Nathan Catt playing well because he is very, very good.
But he's another one who's had so many injuries. So many injuries.
Tom Dunn at hooker. They're all right at hooker.
Tom Dunn had a bad injury last year, but before that he was superb. And they got the young...
Abano out for the season.
So Ross Batty...
He will be.
Ross Batty, Tom Dunn and Jack Walker. So former England under-20s captain, Jack Walker, who's never done anything since he's been to Bath. But he's probably only still about 23.
Yeah. 22. He's a hell of a slice as well, him. Jack Walker.
They need their front row, all the potential in their front row to step up. They need to understand what their first choice back line is.
Yep.
And if you can put those two and keep the players they need fit, they could be a match for anyone.
Who's their scrum half this year? Is it Chris Cook?
Well, Fotuoli is still
Chudley
there.
Fotuoli.
And Chris Cook is there. And Darren Allison.
Chris Cook, when you need someone to come on and just
get a yellow. Yeah. We need a quick yellow card now. Get me Chris Cook. But I guess the problem with that, it's quite a Bath solution to a problem at scrum half, which is, you know, Chudley is he a nailed-on starter? He's a very good player, but is he a nailed-on starter?
No, not with those other guys. There'll be real competition.
But I mean, for anyone, could he start? Would he be the starting scrum half for any team in the Premiership?
He was, and he would have been if Exeter didn't have Nick White.
Yeah, and Townsend.
But he was ahead. Townsend only got a look in because Chudley had some bad injuries.
Yeah,
he was nailed on for a few seasons.
Maybe Newcastle. But no, not many sides. He would be an automatic first choice. But he will speed the game up, which is what Bath need.
So they've got an aging Fotu Alihi, who's still bloody brilliant. They've got Chris Cork, who's just not developed the way he should. They've then got Darren Allinson, who they just kind of bought as a plug-in.
And now he's back up.
And now they've got another guy. And then it doesn't seem that there's going to be an outstanding... I mean, they've got so many guys.
Well, look at their... Well, yeah, quite. Look at their halfbacks, both. They don't... No one could pick. Maybe Todd Blackadder knows they're my guys.
But almost
it's more problematic. You'd think it would be a good thing going, well, I could just slot any of them in. But...
Yeah, I don't see it like that.
Rhythm at halfback particularly.
I mean, that could be another thing which they're going to continue to do. Not commit to either Priestland or Burns. Or maybe it's one of those things like one of them's got a hamstring strain 1 week, the other one...
One of them's injured. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you have those two swapping in, and then you've got four scrum halves to pick from, or let's say three, right? How are you going to get a settled pair from that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
so...
Seventh.
So, three questions then. First of all, before you give your
seventh
position...
Seventh, fired by February.
Your star man and your bolter.
Star man is going to be Francois Lowe if he's fit and firing.
For fantasy rugby draft.
Oh, fantasy rugby draft, sorry.
Do not get Francois Lowe. He does so much work hitting rooks.
Yeah. Not scoring.
He will not score you any points at all.
Defensive-minded players doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Zach Mercer.
Zach Mercer could be exceptional, but will he get as much game time? Because Faletau will be nailed on eight.
Yeah, he won't.
There's so much competition for that back row. If Faletau's fit, he's starting eight.
And then you've
got club captain, or one of the club captains, the vice captains.
Who, Mercer?
Garvey. Garvey.
Right.
Or Tom Ellis. Yeah. Or Zach Mercer.
Or Sam Underhill to get back.
Oh my God, we've mentioned Underhill. This is ridiculous.
So yeah, back
Bath
row.
Shed some back row players.
Back row, Faletau is your only one you want to go for because he's the only one who's nailed on. The rest will rotate.
When they are fit, Faletau, Lowe, and Underhill are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't believe when we were talking about the back row, we didn't say Underhill.
Underhill.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Wow.
Ridiculous. If Rocco's
got to be star man.
Got to be the star man. The bolter, so I'd say...
McConaughey.
Well, McConaughey will be interesting.
Because Watson won't be starting fullback to start the season. Who will be?
The other option is... So he's not a bolter, would be Tom Homer, who scored... He came back, he was injured for a lot of last season. He came back, he scored a phenomenal try against Gloucester.
He did.
So earlier in his career, he was exceptional. If he can get back to that kind of form... He gets a good run with Anthony Watson out. He might be an option. And I think certainly two seasons ago, he was listed as a midfielder.
Ooh. Which midfielders who score...
Midfielders playing in the back three.
Midfielders don't score points in fantasy rugby draft.
So
can't win anything with kids.
Yeah.
There's an option. So there you go. And you're saying seventh?
Seventh, yeah. They could be monstrous. So I mean, they could, if they've got everyone fit, they could legitimately win the league.
All right, so I've changed my mind. I think Leicester and Bath are both going to move up one place.
Ooh.
So the one thing I will add. So I like the Bath squad if they can get the right. If they can pick a team and stick with it, they could do very well. The bit that makes me a little bit nervous is so they finished in sixth place. Which meant that they were the lowest ranking qualifier for the Champions Cup.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of Gloucester, who qualified through the alternative
route.
So
they're going to get battered.
So they're going to have a very tough time of it around the. So they do lose people to internationals. They'll be fighting two fronts. I think seventh might be right. I think they might go one worse than
last
year.
We've seen that time and again, haven't we? The team that finishes sixth.
The difference is.
Dropping down the league.
If they. It's battered the team in the Premiership. They could finish highest and finish lowest. They've got the biggest range.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Definitely.
That's fair.
Now, if this is the best version of Bath, I don't think it matters that they've got the worst Champions Cup pool because I think they will still be competitive. In fact, they might even qualify if it's the best version of this Bath team. If it's not, they are going to get absolutely hammered. Absolutely hammered.
Yeah. So basically, they could finish anywhere between 3rd and 10th.
Yeah. Pretty much. Second. I reckon they could even go as high as 2nd.
Well, they finished top of the league when they got to the final and got hammered by Saracens. They finished top of the league, didn't they?
Interesting.
I'll go 5th.
Shall we bring it home?
Yes.
There you go. Get onto Fantasy Rugby Draft. And there's also Manager Pro and League Pro, I believe.
Is there?
To look at. Yeah, Manager Pro gives you some extra statistics to look at for your players. And it's relatively cheap for the insight it gives you.
You can go check it out, have a look. We are advocates for sure. And basically, we're just trying to get as many people onto it so that you will tolerate us jabbering about it throughout the season. You can find that Hobbit-footed one over there, at Jay Beardmore on Twitter. Yep. I'm at Cocker. Phil swerves social media because he's far more productive with his time and doesn't want to get...
He lurks. He is out there. He is out there.
He doesn't want to get caught in arguments that actually you come out of an hour later thinking, why did I spend an hour of my time getting involved in that? Phil's very smart like that. So you can just find him here. We're
absolutely
Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and let the boys play.
Always play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.